Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10, the pass is deep to his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done three things. 22 for Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
All right, what's going on? Welcome to Cannell and Bell, hanging out with Rajah Bell. Big show lined up for you. Zion shoe deal. We're going to break that down because I think you love shoes.
Right, yeah.
And I think it's a fascinating conversation as far as what he's going to get. We'll talk about that Coach Calipari getting that lifetime deal for Kentucky. What does it mean? Is there any value in it? Or is it just for show? And we'll get some other stuff, too. I want to kick it off here real quick because we just were talking about the Yankees' injuries as Miguel Andujar and Giancarlo Stanton have issues. Giancarlo Stanton on the 10-day issue with the bicep strains and Miguel Andujar with the torn labrum, but could be more time out. When you see that happen to any team, and you also had the Luis Severino have his problem and strength, at what point do you start looking at your strength and conditioning staff?
Yeah,
that to me is like I know we were playing Coke, probably like, what are they doing? But for me, like when I read all those injuries, at some point, I think the Yankees need to start looking at evaluating. Like things aren't always bad luck. Now it could be that,
right?
But I wonder if they're training wrong or they're doing something in the weight room that's just setting these guys up to get hurt.
Yeah, I would say it's kind of early in the season. I would chalk most of that up to just like bad timing and coincidence. But yeah, you would be prudent if you were a Yankees staff to just kind of reassess a little bit. Like you would obviously, when you see a string of guys go down, you are going to consult with whoever your strength and conditioning and your medical staff are and try to just figure out, you know, if there's anything, as I draw my pen, if there's anything going on, you know, that could be a common thread. That's why some of these guys are getting injured. But, you know, typically I think if you're going to be injured, like if you're any team, be injured now,
right?
Be injured early.
Yeah.
Get off to the slow start and then let's be healthy and get rid of all of those injuries up front.
My rookie year, I was on the Giants and they had a guy, Al Miller. I'll never forget his name. Al Miller. He was old school Olympic style.
Oh yeah.
Olympic style. Like,
yeah. Snatching.
Like, yeah. Hanging clean.
Yeah. They don't do that anymore.
I hope not. Oh, I hated it because I was Mr. Nautilus.
Yeah.
You know, like the machines. Yeah. Nice and controlled.
Right.
And he was all like throw them up over your head, which as a quarterback, I was like, what value does that bring to me? Like, and some of it is there is value, but I ended up messing up my back.
Yeah.
Like screwed me up.
And maybe that's why my back feels the way it feels now.
But you love doing those Olympics?
Well, yeah. You know what? It took me from being like 175, 180, like regular dunks to being like all over the rim, being able to do whatever I wanted to do, all because of that, like,
explosive.
Fast twitch, like, explosive. And so I was in, but now, like, clearly my back is out. So
maybe. Now we're both walking around like a couple old men with our backs always have issues. All right, let's do some hoops talk because Zion Williamson, most likely, I mean, I think it's just got to be a made official when he announces, as you're seeing here, little other guys are starting to announce. I think he'll have a big press conference and he'll announce his intention to leave Duke. When he does, there was a lot of speculation over, of course, what team he's going to go to, what team drafts him first overall, but the shoe deal, which I think is fascinating because I think he's going to be a record-setting deal because of a number of reasons. One, because of his star power.
Right.
Like, we've already seen him explode on the scene because he had the Instagram followers, then he had this amazing year at Duke. I thought he delivered on the big stage. Every time there was a game, I thought he came through. And also because of the shoe that blew out, that was a Nike shoe. I think he has some leverage over the number one shoe company in the world who doesn't want to lose out on Zion. So I think if he has smart people around him, they probably have a pretty good sense of leverage. And I think he probably will get $100 million, which would be $10 million more than LeBron James got 15 years ago when he got the 7-year $90 million deal.
God, man.
A lot of money. And he will not have taken one shot in the NBA.
I know. Here's, you can't. Just like I said with the front office yesterday, you can't miss on Zion. You can't be the guy who had a chance to sign him, whether you're a shoe company or a general manager, and elected not to. If he doesn't pick you, that's one thing. But you can't be the guy, because you just touched on all of the things that kind of line up for him, right? Like he has exceeded expectation at the college level. Don't forget, when we came into the season, RJ was the guy at Duke. Like he just took the scene by storm. He's got all of the marketability boxes checked. Everything's in line for him to do great. Here's what I don't know. There are two things. Number one, is he going to be a star at the next level? To some degree, that doesn't really matter to the shoe companies. Like, you get him, you design his brand, you build it out, and you know, you take your chances with that. But here's the other thing. Big men, and he's got to be a big man. And this is old school, stuck in the way you're thinking type of mentality, but it's very real. They don't typically sell shoes. Like LeBron did, but he's not really a big. He's a ball handling. He's better be LeBron, or you have a chance of having $100 million like signing and a shoe not really selling.
Right.
Not everybody's shoe sells.
LeBron's shoes are probably my least favorite shoe because, and we've talked about this, I'm like, I don't like them, they're heavy.
But he's LeBron. Funky.
Right. But, so, if Zion, let's say Zion goes out and has a year, where he does blow up and he averages 20 a game and he wins the slam dunk contest, do you think his shoes would sell even if they're clunky, or do you think it's just the game has changed?
I don't think he can have a clunky shoe. Nike's come a long way, Adidas, whoever it is. You can't make him a clunky big man shoe. You have to make him – what Nike did with – so Nike puts out all of these shoes, right, and they got a big shoe that's sturdy and it's built for being in the paint. And then you have LeBron's that's kind of a crossover. It's heavy armor because he's in the paint a lot, but it's functional. And then you have like Kyrie, Paul George, Kevin Durant's that are more sleek and they get around the court. Kobe's, his shoe better be more in the lane of a LeBron's and down. Don't build him out a big clunky, a lot of air, heavy shoe, or it's not going to sell.
See, I think the whole shoe blowout thing was just a fluke.
Yeah,
you know, like I think it was kind of a freaky thing that happened. I don't think it was a sign that he can't wear the PGs to, you know, that he couldn't wear those again. Now, obviously, Nike wanted to make sure that didn't happen again, so they came and gave him this reinforced version. But I think he could have a similar shoe to LeBron. That's actually what he went to after, right? Didn't he go to those for a while?
No, he went to Kyrie's. They redesigned the Kyrie.
But the Kyrie's were slimmer, right? Aren't those one of the more
slimline? Kyrie's a more functional, get around the court type of shoe. Yeah, it's built for guards.
So I think he can still have that type of shoe. I think what's going to be fascinating is what do these other companies throw at him? Because they're going to know, hey, if we come with a strong offer, maybe he does leave Nike. I think ultimately he probably goes with Nike. But, you know, who's to say that Puma, who gave Marvin Bagley a monster deal when he came out, doesn't want to make another splash? Or kind of similar to the line of thinking that Nike had when they signed Michael Jordan. It was, we need somebody who's going to elevate our brand to that next level. We'll do whatever it takes. And they, at the time, it was, hey, we're going to give him his own shoe. Maybe Puma or Adidas or somebody else not only gives him his own shoe, but his own clothing line.
He's worthy of a whole Zion line.
Are you asking that, or are you saying?
I'm asking because I...
No, but I think he's going to have that type of leverage. And I think, look, I think NBA executives are a whole different ballgame. Like, I think there's a lot more people that think like you do that are in front offices, they're evaluating his game.
Right.
That are saying, I don't know. But I think the shoe companies are salivating because they've seen his leaping ability. They've seen his star power. You know, they love him design. Like, he's a good interview. Like, I think he presents himself really well. I think he's got all the it factor. And that's where the shoe companies go in. But I think what's going to be interesting is that the stakes for the shoe company will be much higher than the rookie deal. Because if he's taken number one overall, last year, Ayton got like 4 for $41 million, so about $10 million.
Yeah, you're
we're talking about
that.
$100 million. Like, that's a way, like, if you're the guy that says, no, we have to get Zion as a shoe company, you better make sure you're right.
Yeah.
I think he gets 100. You don't?
I think he could get 100. Yeah, you're talking about LeBron getting 97 years ago.
Which is nuts. No. That was in 2003. That was his rookie year.
Oh, 2003. I'm back.
Which is insane to think about, because that's probably like $150 million a day.
Yeah,
like with
inflation. He's definitely going to get $100 million. And he hasn't done anything. I want to separate my feelings about what he could be at the professional level from what I think he's earned. He's earned the right to be number one.
Right.
Like I said yesterday, I wouldn't want to be the team picking first in the draft.
Right.
I would actually like to be number two. He's earned the right to have his own signature shoe and demand that kind of money. If I'm him, it's only Nike. Like, that's all I'm really interested in is Nike, because I know I've seen what they do with the signature shoe. If they're promising me a signature shoe and a brand, I know Nike has the infrastructure and they're going to get that done. There's only been, you're talking about Under Armour with Steph, right?
Yep.
Can you give me another signature shoe from somebody out there that's been really, really successful?
not even an athlete.
No, James Harden's shoe doesn't do bad from Adidas.
Right.
Dame Lillard has a shoe from Adidas, but none of those are shoes that you see the general public clamoring for all the time. When Nike does it, they do it right. So I'm going with Nike. So he's earned the right to do all of that.
Yep.
You just better hope he hits. You better hope he is what everybody thinks he is at the end of the day.
Boy, we never talked about Lonzo Ball. Was one of we never even considered that as a rookie shoe deal, like a player who was a rookie.
It's not a rookie shoe.
I know, because it's such a fiasco, I think it's shut down now.
It's company.
Such a complete joke, the big baller brand is. What if there's a, so here's the question, because it always comes down to money. If there is $100 million offer, and let's say Puma, Under Armour, Adidas, or one of these other companies comes up, and they say, we'll give you $120 million. You taking it?
Nike for $100 million, one of those for $120 million.
I think
20 million, but
it's 100. I would go with 150.
Yeah, I would go with, if you were talking about Puma, no disrespect to Puma, because I love Puma.
That's why I gave like five options.
Yeah, but if you were talking about maybe Adidas as opposed to Nike, and we're talking about 20, 25 million, maybe if you were going to take a swing at a Puma or a
like
Pony,
one of these, like you saw Hakeem Olajuwon, was Etonic.
Were taking a swing at something like that now, it would have to be more than 20 million.
Like what if Pony, remember Pony?
Pony, yeah,
what
totally.
If they came back and wanted to
ponies.
Make a, yeah, exactly. Yeah. What if they wanted to come back and make a splash? I think it's pretty good too. I would love to be in that situation, man. I'd love to be in those rooms.
Oh man,
hear those negotiations take place, cause they're going to have some presentations that are going to be off the charts. Yesterday we talked a little bit about, the Knicks, Suns, and Cavs as potential options. We didn't talk about Chicago or Atlanta.
Right.
Atlanta's becoming pretty intriguing because Trae Young has been pretty solid. He's been playing great, especially as of late. And they're positioned to land two top 10 picks, so there's a chance that they could actually get him. Do you think Atlanta would be a good fit for Zion?
I think Atlanta could be a good fit for Zion. Trae Young is the type of guard that can really highlight Zion. You know, someone who can get him the ball and play make and catch him when he's going downhill and put him in positions to really be successful. I know Zion can create off the bounce, but you don't want him having to exist solely on his ability to play make. I think Trae Young helps that. John Collins is a good young player. Kevin Herter's had a good season. You've got some pieces, Torian Prince a couple years ago. I think that's a good spot for him, but ultimately I do think, you know, if I'm looking at it from a place, and I said the other day, I don't mean to contradict myself, that for him in a market, I thought the Bulls or the Knicks were the place to be, just with the market. That's your market.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
When you're talking about teams and the way they're built and structured, I kind of like the Suns because they've got Devin Booker, who's a burgeoning star. They have DeAndre Ayton, that's going to be a very good player in the NBA. They're missing the point guard, though, and I do think a point guard's a key ingredient to Zion being successful. But that could be a good spot, and I think Atlanta's a decent spot as well because I like Trae Young, and I think he's going to be a really, really good point guard in the league.
It's going to be fascinating to watch unfold when they actually do the lottery process and see who gets to pick first, because everybody's going to be solid.
Now, you said the Hawks can wind up with two, right? They get Mavericks if the Mavericks pick, if it's outside the top five?
Yes, own plus the Mavericks, which is top five protected. They get the Mavs pick if it lands outside the top five, but Dallas has a 37% to get in the top four.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that'd be a big draft night for
the
Hawks.
I don't know if it was Coca or Debo who said the Atlanta Hawks could be building like the Golden State Warriors. Cause I was like, hey, if he goes to Atlanta, should they try to sign? I was asking you, like, hey, can they get a Kevin Durant or Kyrie? And you're like, nah. But if you try to build for the long term, like build through your own
the
way the Golden State Warriors, like drafting Steph and Clay and getting these kind of guys and building them up, maybe that Atlanta team is somebody you should buy futures on like 3 or 4 years down the road.
Atlanta gets 3-7. And you're sitting there like me with the first pick, and you're like, I don't want to necessarily take Zion.
Take the 3-7?
I take 3-7.
And I love deals. I love drafting deals. I would love to see somebody package that up.
I'd take 3-7 to get Zion.
You would.
I mean, to not have to take Zion.
Right. But you could be, before Jordan? Who was the guy that
Sam Bowie.
Sam Bowie was like the famous, because the other one was
Sam Bowie
or somebody good.
It was Akeem, but it might have
been. It was Akeem, I think. Yeah. That was like a good pick, but Sam Bowie pick was obviously one where it was like, I can't believe you guys did that. We were talking about shoes. I was not aware that Odell Beckham had his own cleat.
Yeah, it came out last year.
Signature, which is a tough sell because you can't wear it around the mall or to the movies when you're kicking it.
You can.
But his era officially began in Cleveland as they walked him out, had the press conference.
Yeah.
And not only was it Jarvis Landry, not it was Odell Beckham. They had Jarvis Landry. They had Baker Mayfield. They had everybody was there.
Miles Garrett.
This is the honeymoon.
This is the
honeymoon period. Everybody's happy. The more I think about this Cleveland team, who I loved, I was Super Bowl bound. Like, they can be a Super Bowl contender.
You're out now?
No, I'm not out. I'm nervous. Because anytime everybody piles on and everybody thinks it's going to be the best thing, it usually falls short. Like, the expectations get to be too high. So I'm nervous for the Browns. Like, I think there's like Freddie Kitchens, how does that work out? And more importantly, how do they handle adversity?
Right.
Because I thought the last year, the Rams, they went all in. They got some players that had big egos, that had a little bit of a checkered past, similar to what some of the Browns guys have done. And they went for it. They swung for the fences. And they got there. Almost had the Super Bowl. But their year was pretty good. Like, they didn't have to face that much adversity. I just wonder. The other thing, too, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, is Cleveland is a city now who you know, last year it was all icing on the cake. Like, man, we got 7 wins. This is awesome. Like, we're now their own fan base is starting to think, hey, we're going to win our division. Like, we're supposed to win our division. We've got these types of athletes. We should win. And when the expectation changes, when you start, if you lose a game, all of a sudden you're taking heat. The fans are booing instead of saying, great job, nice try, we're getting closer. No, that's not the way it's going to be, which makes me nervous to see what happens when they face that.
I think those are all valid points. When,
right.
When there's a level of expectation, it definitely changes the pressure surrounding your team and the pressure that starts to mount in that building and so on and so forth. What I thought was interesting and why I think you have a reason to have pause and concern,
right.
But I really liked the press conference. Typically, you know, those things are a me show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're coming in and celebrating this personality that's coming to this team, and he's going to change everybody's fortunes. This was like a kumbaya type of deal. Like,
yeah.
I really enjoyed the camaraderie that was in the room. It looked like they had, you know, the team in mind, not necessarily just the celebration of Odell Beckham Jr. This was going to be a we thing. And that mentality, I think, can go a long way in sports. We talked about it yesterday with the Lakers. I think that can go a long way. And especially when you're dealing with Freddie Kitchens as a first-year head coach, if you're going to give him a team of guys that will play for each other versus a team of guys that are playing for their next contract, that's a much easier road for a coach to navigate. Part of coaching at the professional level, you know, maybe not football as much because you've got so many guys, is navigating those egos and making sure
Absolutely.
You carve out a little piece for everybody that needs a little piece. When you've got a collective we that's playing for each other, it takes some of that off of a coach's plate, and he needs less on his plate than more going into next season.
Definitely was this kind of honeymoon period has taken place. Jarvis Landry said he cried. I mean, his quote was, I just cried. I called Beckham. I talked to John Dorsey, their general manager. I cried with John. I cried with Freddie. I cried with Beckham. Like, he's emotional.
It's a lot of crying, bro.
It is a lot of crying, but Jarvis Landry's a pretty emotional dude. But I think it's one of the best stories. Like, it's one of those sports stories that you can only see happen in sports. When you see two guys who played at rival high schools, and, you know, Nike did a fantastic job of creating an ad showing them side by side with how similar they were, teammates at LSU. And I think it is really cool because I guarantee you, just having been in a spot when I was in college and the way guys talk to each other, and you'd be like, man, it'd be so cool to play one day with another.
Right.
I had a couple opportunities to play with former teammates, but it wasn't ever a position that I played with or even an offensive player. It was like guys on the defense side of the ball who I wasn't extremely tight with.
Mm-hmm.
It was still cool. But imagine, like, in a receiver position, you're a tight-knit group. I could imagine them after practice or, you know, kicking it in college in the dorm room. Like, how cool would it be one day? We're going to make it one day.
Yeah.
And I don't think they ever thought they were going to make it this big. But to have them reunited, like, I think they're worth rooting for. Like, and I'll be rooting for them because it is a fantastic story. And it's a ton of
Danny,
fun
this is going to be like when you get to actually run on the ticket to be a vice president with your
That's right. Favor. Me and my man Wayne Messam. We're going to reunite.
Like,
I can just hear when he unveils me at the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah.
And to be my running mate is Danny Cannell. We go way back. We'll cry together.
Yeah,
absolutely. We'll be up there for sure.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, welcome back, Cannell and Bell, hanging out here talking some NFL. So before the break, I told you that I had the solution.
Yeah, we got
for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think it's a pretty simple solution. I think Ben needs to stop yapping.
Just
he has gotten himself into so much trouble over the years from opening his mouth.
Right,
when he speculated about retirement. Anytime he talks about his injuries, he loves talking about his injuries, self-diagnosing. Hey, I like kind of plays up the toughness card, like how tough, because he loves diagnosing himself. And this past year, I thought was the most egregious example because it didn't involve just him. It involved his teammates.
Sure.
He started throwing dudes under the bus left and right, saying Antonio Brown shouldn't have gone on the outside. He should have, you know, should have let the defensive, the DB, cut him for the interception in the game. Called out James Washington, said he's got to make that catch. And I'm giving the recap. It was much more expanded and I thought it was even worse than it came across on radio. I think he needs to stop doing his radio show because a lot of these comments take place on his weekly hit. There's not a lot of money in it. He doesn't need the money. I understand why guys do it. Tom Brady was asked about it. Coke and I were talking about this before the show. Brady was like, why do you do it? Because I think they typically get anywhere between 25 and 50 grand.
Mm-hmm.
These are guys that make millions and millions of dollars. So they're not doing it for the money. Brady said, you kind of do it to help out your local affiliate because the local is usually a flagship station that airs the game. So you do it kind of help your ownership, help the team. And then Brady said you can control the narrative, which I think Brady does a good job of. You don't have to worry about media. You know, you can get your voice. It's your words and you kind of control the narrative and say what happened in a game or steer the conversation the way you want. The problem with Ben, when he goes on his, he steers the conversation in a way that makes him look bad.
Right.
I think he needs to shut it down. And I think even the Steelers should shut him
down. Well, that was what I was going to ask you. And in terms of controlling the narrative, you have to be savvy enough to control the narrative. You want to get out there something that is beneficial to you and the club. And Ben has done just the opposite. So my next question to you, and you just touched on it, would be, do you think Ben should shut it down or do you think the Steelers should step in?
Well, ideally.
Let's just think about this, Ben.
Right.
Is it really worth it to be, you know what I mean? Like, should you be doing this?
Right. That's funny. He said he was talking to Brady Quinn, not Tom Brady. So Brady Quinn was the one who had that quote, but Tom Brady obviously does weekly show. But he's right in the fact that you don't make a lot of money and you do it for the same reasons. But to your point, how many guys do you know that are superstar athletes, like Ben Roethlisberger is, that are really self-aware?
I
don't think
the
they are because of them. I think it's a rarity that you find a guy who's
self-aware. Exceptions to the rule.
Exactly. So I don't think Ben thinks it's a big deal. I don't even know if it's got to him, like some of the criticism. Like he has somebody run his Twitter account. They block everybody who says anything bad about him.
Right.
I don't think he's aware of some of the heat that he's taking. So that's where I think either his people, his agent, his whatever he wants, you know, whoever he wants to refer to, or the team needs to have that discussion and say, because I think there's a way you spin it. You think if you're Ben, you say, hey, you know, I'm focused on a Super Bowl. I'm taking everything. I'm turning every spare minute I can on the Super Bowl. I'm not worried about, you know, spending time with the media. I'm going to give you guys all you need in our media sessions. But for me, I need to focus on the Super Bowl. That's all we have to do.
Yeah. And if you're spinning it to Ben and be like, Ben, there's really no need for you to be out here doing this, man. We want to take some stuff off your plate. We really want
absolutely
to make it his idea to not do it. Like, is it really worth your time, Ben? You don't really love doing that show, do you?
Right.
You know, we're going to take it away, man. You're not obligated to do that show anymore.
Right.
You know, and he seems like the type of dude to be like, yeah, you know what? You're right.
Right.
I don't want to do that show.
Right.
Perfect. We're good.
Did you ever do a weekly radio hit?
I want to say early in my career, I did a thing in Dallas where I had a weekly show, but it wasn't, make no mistakes, it wasn't the Rajah Bell show. I was like a weekly guest on somebody's show, I think.
Right.
You know, and I gave a little insight and we went to a restaurant and stuff like that.
I did a weekly hit.
Did you?
It was like the quarterback hour.
Oh, good.
Monday morning.
How much
quarterback.
They pay?
I was a backup. I think I got about 15 grand.
See,
backup, I wasn't making great money, so I did it for the money.
I would have done a show for 15
money.
Racks.
Yeah, and it was only, I would go in if we were in town.
Mm-hmm.
If I was on the road, I would just call up. Like Ben, Tom Brady, they don't go in. They call in their
call.
It's a 15-minute phone call. So like, you know, they probably get paid, you know, 50 grand is a lot of money. They don't need it, but I did it for the money, but it was on Cool 105.
Oh.
With J.J. McKay.
Okay.
Like the voice and the coach. Like those are the
J.J. McKay and the coach?
Yeah, that was the morning show that I was on.
Nice.
But the thing that I probably shouldn't have done, because I was the backup, and I was giving, you know, opinions on everybody. Like, and like I should have just, you got to know your role.
Tone that down a little
bit. Your role as a backup quarterback is not to have a weekly radio show.
And
even though it got me a little interested in broadcasting.
Right.
And it helped get me some reps. Probably not the smartest thing to do as a backup quarterback. You just shouldn't be talking about, hey, our offense struggled because of this. When it probably doesn't look the best coming from backup.
Yeah,
sometimes you have to take shots at the quarterback, you know, and not in a critical way.
It's
but
one
like,
thing
was
when
boy.
You're the quarterback.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It becomes a thing and not a they thing.
Right. Yeah. As a backup QB, you probably just keep your mouth. Kind of like the punters and kickers. You should just know your role. As everybody's getting these extensions that are handed out, you know, Antonio Brown got his new money handed him away, didn't have to do it. I think Odell Beckham will probably get some added to his. a lot of guys have a priority that they want to be the highest paid receiver in the thing. Is it an ego thing? Whatever it is. Is it a money thing? Whatever the case is, it seems like it's something that guys want.
I think it's more specific to the wide receiver position. Do you think
it does feel like
I mean,
like
I'm sure everybody has a guy in their position tree that feels like that. But it feels like more wide receivers are interested in being the highest paid receiver than any other position.
It does feel that way. I think it also probably comes from agents who want to sell themselves as getting my client the most money. So I think that has to do with it. But I do think receivers probably a little bit more smack talk in the offseason. They want to have that kind of ability to say I'm the highest paid. Well, Julio Jones, who's currently is the fourth highest paid wide receiver as far as guaranteed money at signing with $35 million, has said he doesn't care about being the highest paid wideout. I say good for him. Like I think it should be the least of your priorities. I think you want to get your fair market value, which a lot of times can get skewed because you locked in a deal earlier. Julio Jones got an extension last season because he voiced his displeasure and the Falcons, they were able to work something out. So I think it's refreshing to see a guy who says it. Now, I think he's definitely saying the politically correct thing. Like, this is what fans want to hear, your ownership want to hear. But I take him at his word. I say good for him. He's realized he's probably paid around where he is. He's probably around the third or fourth best receiver. Some people might argue he's the first. But I think production-wise, he's been around the third or fourth. So I think he's getting fair money. So I think it's perfectly fine for him to say, you know what? I'm good where I am.
Yeah, totally. You have to factor in a lot of things when you're dealing with Julio Jones too. He likes where he is. He likes where he lives, right? There's been a modicum of success there in Atlanta. You're not talking about a guy who's playing on a terrible team with a terrible organization, in which case your priorities might be make me the highest paid guy. Like, none of this around here is great. You're in a really stable environment that you appear to enjoy. There's no reason to need to be the number one paid wide receiver or any position. Like, you've made a lot of money. You're going to continue to make a lot of money. Pay me, you know, within the average of the top five, top six receivers in the NFL. I really like where I'm at. I'm going to help you help me so we all can make this work and we go try to win a Super Bowl. I love it.
And it seems like they have a pretty good relationship with the Falcons. They didn't extend him last year, but remember they kind of reworked his deal and they gave him like a couple million extra bucks.
Yeah.
It wasn't a massive deal. And Thomas Dimitroff, the general manager, has indicated to Julio Jones that they would revisit the contract this offseason after the team adjusted Jones' deal before last season. But again, his agent, Jimmy Sexton, one of the biggest power players in the business, probably will try to get him the biggest deal. Because a lot of times...
That's his job.
Of course.
That's
of course.
His job.
Julio's job is to say the right thing,
right,
which he did. But a lot of times, it is timing. Because it's just the latest contract, the way, because the salary cap increases, things go up. It's the most recent wide receiver is the guy who becomes the highest paid. Here's the thing I don't want to hear from Antonio Brown after somebody else passes him. Don't tell me in a year or two, hey, I'm not the highest paid receiver. You agreed to your deal.
Right.
Like, it was a good deal. Like, take it and be happy, which seems like Julio Jones is in that spot. All right, welcome back. Kanell and Bell hanging out here talking a little college hoops. Coca, our producer, who has really been toughing it through this back injury, has said the first half of the show was not very good.
Right.
We got to amp it up.
All right.
Let's bring it. We're going to bring it home in the back half of the show because we're going to deliver for all our listeners.
This is my first go around with daily.
Yeah.
When there's not a whole lot going on.
Right.
It's tough.
It is tough.
I had no regard for guys I listened to on the radio or anybody. Right. I really didn't. I'm just like,
and they do 3 hours.
It's incredible.
It is.
Like, what are you going to, you're just trying to fabricate stuff to talk about?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes you
great.
Have to create, you know, stuff. I'd say some shows have made a lot of money off creating debates.
Right.
And yell at each other about it. But that's not what we want to do.
No.
Actually, I do enjoy talking about like the shoe deal for Zion.
Right.
And it's one of those days where there's not a lot of games to react to. It's baseball, which nobody likes listening to.
Sure.
You know, for an entire hour.
But let's say the Julio Jones. Did you really love talking about Julio Jones a second ago? No.
All right.
No, exactly.
Okay.
You can say no.
Right.
You can say no.
Well, let's bump it up.
Right,
I do
right.
like talking about John Calipari.
Sure.
Who is getting a lifetime contract. The reason I like talking about it is because I think UCLA made a massive mistake or a massive miscalculation on what it would take to lure John Calipari away.
Yeah.
John Calipari made $9 million this season as the head coach. Do you know what UCLA offered him?
I
6 years, $48 million. Do you do your math? I do my math with my fifth grader every day. It's only $8 million a year. If you're trying to get him to go away from Kentucky, you would think you'd probably have to double it because when he goes to LA, it's going to be twice the cost of living. He's got a really good setup there. UCLA's been a mess. Why don't you offer him more than 6 years, $48 million? That's a joke.
I wish I had a good I mean, follow up to that. There's no, that I think makes that's no
arrogance.
Sense.
I think it's arrogance. I think UCLA.
Arrogance?
Yep.
UCLA?
I think we're a storied program. We have all those championships under John Wooden. Like we're UCLA. You can come live in LA. You have a better city. You can recruit California. I think it's arrogance.
That's more than arrogance. That man has put out 19 lottery picks since he's been in Kentucky. The next two guys, Tom Izzo and Krzyzewski,
yep,
have 19 in total. That you're not offering him anything there by way of a recruit or facilities or any of that that's going to get him to leave for less money. You have to be one arrogant. Bro.
It's either that or they're really cheap and they thought they had a
Then don't waste his time.
Well, that's what I think. A lot of times I do wonder, because the deal was reported, according to the Athletic, Seth Davis. I do wonder if this is like one of those ones where Kentucky got played a little bit.
Possibly.
You know, the agents start talking. They talk to reporters. They float out figures that are running around there. Kentucky fans flip out. Although they haven't been thrilled lately, with the lack of success. Only one, all those guys you mentioned, only one championship to speak
for.
But I think there is a significant portion. They're like, we can't let Coach Cal go.
No.
So they're saying, all right, we give him the lifetime deal. The other thing about it too is the lifetime deal was pretty interesting because he's 60. Like, they probably, like, it's not that uncommon. John Gruden got a 10-year deal with the Raiders.
Right.
It's not that uncommon to see coaches get these longer-term deals. But I guess it's good to see John Calipari.
Yeah, I like Cal. Cal's a cool dude, man, and he's a down-to-earth guy. I mean, all of those guys have their own, you know, their ego. That's why they are where they are and they're as good as they are. But a pretty down-to-earth guy when you sit down and talk to him, knows his basketball. You can debate all you want about, you know, their success there and whose fault that is. And I talked about it the other day on the show. You're playing with freshmen all the time. It's not in a one and done scenario like the tournament. You're rolling out there with five freshmen or four freshmen and a sophomore. I know that wasn't their team this year, but you're not going to sustain levels of championships with that formula. What he does do is prepare young men to go to the NBA, and he's got a great track record of doing that. You know, there were a couple guys. I asked Coca before if there were any other comps in the NCAA with lifetime deals. Apparently, there were reports that Krzyzewski got one from Duke, and then who was the other one?
The lifetime
Bob deal. Huggins at West Virginia. Because I thought it was unprecedented, but apparently it happens. And what's lifetime? I mean, you think if John Calipari gets offered $15 million to coach the Atlanta Hawks in 3 years, he's not leaving? Yeah, he's leaving. Like, good for him, but you know he's bouncing if something that great comes along.
You know the other thing? If he has two sub-500 seasons, Kentucky's probably walking away.
Correct.
Like, there's a lifetime deal for recruiting.
Right.
That's what they're doing. That's exactly what this is for. It's to tell those recruits that are coming through there, he's not going anywhere. He's going to be here, and there's nothing you have to worry about. That's what it's for. Because in the seedy underworld of recruiting, there's a lot of, hey, come to us, our place is great, but there's a lot of negative recruiting where they take shots at everybody else and say, hey,
sure,
this guy's not going to be. Are you kidding me? Coach Cal, he's going to UCLA, or he's going to take the next job at the Atlanta Hawks, or whatever team it is. It's absolutely, that's what's going on here. It's to try to clarify that for the recruits. They're saying, hey, no more rumors. Let's put this to bed. Let's give him a lifetime deal. Bobby Bowden, I don't know if it was official or not, but he would have been the closest thing to a lifetime deal. But when he got to be 80 years old, even the Florida State faithful were like, hey, it's time to move on.
And his deal takes him through, like, there's a place for him in the, it doesn't just center around coaching. Essentially, it's like he coaches until he doesn't coach, and then he's going to roll into some kind of
administrative role
or something like that.
Assistant athletic director or something like that. I do think UCLA is finding themselves
the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, also, it's a dumb thing. If you're going to swing at Cal, you better make sure you get him, because now they floated out these numbers that they can afford $8 million a year, and it has been reported that they're cheaper, right? Like, they don't, I don't think they chartered, planes for their team. Like, they just don't, their facilities aren't that great. I think, you know, it's kind of been the MO that UCLA is not willing to pay. Now that they've showcased that, and now they're going to have to go after their second and third choices.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bad look for them.
Yeah, you're opening the paper. I really hope that they were complicit in getting Kentucky to take a bigger swing at Cal, and this wasn't them really offering.
I know. Because that's the dumbest thing you've ever heard. If you wanted somebody to leave, you better bring more money. Speaking of leaving for more money, and if you like talking about Julio Jones' contract extension, I know you're going to love Bryce Harper talk. I know how much you love about baseball. But aside from, hey, Phillies win total, we're not going to break that down. But Bryce Harper is going back to D.C., obviously the team that he left. He did a lengthy sit down with the Washington Post. Barry, how do we say this last name? Svrluga? For Luga. Yep. It's for Luga of the Washington Post. And he had some really interesting quotes. I think Bryce Harper needs to do a better job of portraying himself as a better teammate.
Okay.
He didn't have the best reputation as a teammate. I think it's one of the reasons why the Nationals didn't win. They were always one of the most talented teams, a favorite every preseason that teams want teams to reach the World Series, and they always underperformed. I think it was specifically because Bryce Harper, as a leader in that locker room, was a guy that guys didn't like.
Right.
I've taken some heat, but I want to have you read this headline right here. This is from a couple years ago. You see that right there?
Yeah.
That's it right there. You can read it. It
says ESPN radio host calls Bryce Harper a selfish player and a jerk.
That was in 2016.
That was
yours. That was hot take Danny. That was hot take Danny from back in the day. But I do think he's a selfish player. Jerk is a strong word, especially if I've never met him.
Right.
But a lot of the articles you read about him make him seem like he's more worried about his brand. It's kind of the millennial superstar. More worried about his brand, more worried about fashion, more worried about anything. The one thing I'll say about Bryce Harper, I still do think he plays hard. I think
right.
he trains hard. I think he wants to be individually great. I just don't know if he wants to be a great player. And I think he's going to get an earful from the DC fans. I think they're going to boo him
every single time.
Yeah.
I think he should. I think that's fair.
They should.
Yeah, he should get the earful, and they should voice their displeasure with the way things went down. That I think all of that's fair. I do also support the fact that he had an opportunity to leave in free agency, and he decided he wanted to go to Philadelphia. Some of the things that came out about him signing in Philly, the deal that he signed, about him, you know, not wanting the opt-out and not wanting and wanting no trade because he wanted to be somewhere secure and not have to move again. I think that speaks to the other side of him a little bit,
right,
where he wants to be a good teammate and ingrained in the fabric of what they do and in the community. And so, you know, if you were looking for anything to kind of not support what you said there and paint him in more of a leadership light, maybe that would be it.
I think he made a mistake because marrying yourself for 12 years, right? That was 13 years. What's his deal? 13 years, $330 million. That's a long time for an organization.
Business decision-wise, right. Maybe not.
I think he should have taken the Dodgers deal, which is a shorter-term deal. It would have been for 4 years. It would have smashed the average annual value.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have struck it rich again. You could have said, all right, if I like L.A. and I like this team, I can stay here, make a deal with them. Or you could have revisited everything.
Yeah.
I think it was really interesting, though, that he said he got it was a grind, like getting asked all the time. Look at what they did to Kevin Durant earlier. See, remember, he was so tired.
Yep.
You guys making up these stories. So I do think it says something. Maybe that was a mature decision. I think financially it was probably a decision that's a little bit puzzling. I mean, obviously, you got $330 million in the bank. You know, but
you're not going to question it.
Literally 2 weeks after, Mike Trout got $430 million. So there's more money out there that he probably could have surpassed. But I'm not going to knock a guy for saying, hey, I want to stay in one place, because that is really cool to be able to have that type of security.
I think it's great, and I think it speaks to when you're trying to repair an image to some degree, or you have questions about a guy's personality, that sheds a different light on it. I will say, for a guy in his prime, don't lock into that. You want flexibility.
Right.
You want to be able, I'm not even talking about just purely numbers. You want to make sure you're in a place where, you know, they'll continue to surround you with talent and give you an opportunity to win. You know, there are a lot of factors that go into why you would want flexibility while you're in your prime.
Yep.
But I do think him locking in shows you another side of him. But if I was his agent, I would have probably been like, let's get the four-year deal. Let's come back to the table again in 4 years. You'll still be in your prime. Let's go to work.
He was talking about coming back to play in front of his home crowd, and obviously playing, and going through the negotiations. And he said in his mind, he said, his quote, I'm sitting there like, I'm going to be a national. They're going to make me an offer this week. We're going to build off that, and it's going to happen. I told Kayla, his wife, be ready to go back. I flat out told her I was psyched. I was like, be ready to go back, because if we can, we're going back. I was pumped. Their offer was 12 years, $250 million. Deferred till when? 2072.
What?
That's like a Bobby Bonilla deal, like where it's just, which I don't know if I would want the money up front. I mean, I would take it if you said till 27, I'd get whatever number it is. But it hasn't been done in forever.
Yeah.
You know? And the Bobby Bonilla contract, it always comes up when he gets his $1 million bonus every year.
Right.
I think it's coming up to the close to the time when it's going to end. But every time it's like, these players are making less than Bobby Bonilla.
That's crazy.
And that would definitely be the case for Bryce Harper type money, if he got that one. And he's I think a lot of this though, him saying he was going to be a national, I thought so. I think he's doing a little bit of damage control. Like trying to make sure the fan base doesn't hate him that much.
Yeah.
Although he did admit, he sent out a lengthy Instagram post, and at the end of it, he did say, when I run on the field tonight, I'm sure to hear some boos, but I will always remember the cheers and the screams that are still with me right now as I start my new chapter. So for that, DC, thank you.
Yeah, anybody of his stature, any player of that magnitude that leaves by their own volition in free agency and doesn't take the deal that the team's offered, as long as the deal is in the same ballpark, you're going to have your fair share of boos, and that's okay.
Good news is Phillies are 3-0, and he's hitting .333 with a couple jacks, so he's having a pretty good start.
Go.
All right, welcome back to Cannell and Bell, one of our best shows ever right here on a Tuesday. For real, though, if you're watching us on CBS Sports HQ, go to our iTunes page mm-hmm. where you can go subscribe and download, and then give us a review. Give us a five-star review, no matter what.
Not today. Not today.
Maybe they'll
not
listen
today.
Another time.
Today.
And if you're listening to the podcast, you can go check us out on CBS Sports HQ, or you can watch our clips on YouTube. We have full episodes on YouTube available, and you can see some of the highlights of the show. I don't know if we're going to have any.
I want to fire back. Can I look at some of the comments? Hey, you got? Can we pull up some of the comments? Do we get any bad ones?
Oh, on Twitter? Because you can follow the account at Cannell and Bell, which our boy Debo runs. He does a really good job replying to people all the time. Except they're always coming at me, which I don't like. There was one the other day.
All right, chill, bro. Chill.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I wanted to read that one because it was calling me out.
Chill.
What was our boy's name? Now you got me into this where I'm really upset about this account that took shots at me. I got to find it. I'll find it.
All right, keep on track, dude. Where are we going?
Keep it on track.
We got the Nuggets Warriors. What do we have? We're talking about LeBron James.
We did talk about LeBron James. I'm trying now you got me.
All right. So it's essentially LeBron James said he's not going to play in the World Championships.
Here we go from our man Anhalo 11 from Angel.
Anhalo?
Yeah, that's his name. Anhalo. Anhalo 11.
All right.
Listen to the show almost every day. F's with Raja heavy. I think Danny Cannell is bum quarterback for the Giants. Don't value his opinion at all. All right, everybody leave a rating except for Angel.
Hey, Angel. I asked for Angel, too. We're good.
All right. So, should LeBron play in the 2020 Olympics? This is insane right now. For him to put more wear and tear on his body after all he's been through, he's already got gold medals, right?
He's definitely got
one. What are we doing? He shouldn't even consider playing. Take some time off.
Well, I think what he said was Pop is coaching in the 2020 Olympics, and he would consider playing – to play for Pop. If LeBron, I think this factors on whether he's healthy or not next year and whether that's a success with the Lakers. If it's not and he's injured, oft injured, and they have another bad season and it comes to a whimper like it did this year, I don't think it would be a great look for him to play in the 2020 games. But if he gets healthy and they have a good year and he looks like himself again and he's still productive and he's not taking up a spot that would be better for someone else to have, and I would imagine his game wouldn't have fallen off to that degree at that point, I'm fine with LeBron playing.
I think he's going to take this year off, obviously, when they go to the FIBA World Cup in China this summer. Like, I think the one thing that we're kind of overlooking is by shutting LeBron down now, and they're not going to make the playoffs, obviously, he's going to have some time to get fresh. Like, to get those fresh legs back. And if anybody needs it at his age after the final streak, which he's been through, that's unreal.
Unreal.
And it's also an incredible wear and tear on his body. So now we have the graphic says he's plans to film Space Jam 2 this summer. That's going to be pretty light lifting for him. I mean, it's not going to be that, physical on him. It's not like he's going to sit around all day. But I think this, mentally, physically, for him to hit the reset and kind of say, all right, I need some time.
How many straight finals had he been to?
It's 9, isn't it?
Is it 9?
Yeah.
Let's say it were 6. All right, let's just say 6.
It's 8 straight? All right.
It's 8 straight. Okay. So he has played. You're talking about a season ending the beginning of April.
Yeah.
Okay? Versus the season ending the beginning of June.
Right.
2 months. He had effectively played a year,
an extra
and 4 months more,
an extra year in like a
basketball.
Yeah, and they're probably you do tell me if I'm wrong. They're more intense.
They're way more. It's a completely different animal. And so, if anyone can get their body, I hadn't even factored that in. It's a great point. Him having this amount of rest to get himself together and look like a different animal next year. I tell the story about me being with the Cavs and LeBron not looking like himself. I know I've told you this story before. And we were about to go on a road. We were headed to Phoenix or somewhere like that. We were going out west. And David Griffin said, hey, man, LeBron's not going to be with you guys for the first two games of the trip. He's going to catch back up with us in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why? He said, well, he needs to get his body together. So we're going to let him have some time to get his body together. He was just coming from Miami. He came back a week later and looked like a different animal, physically looked like a different animal. And so he's that dialed into his body, and his training staff and the people around him are that dialed into what he needs to do. Give that man an extra month and a half 2 months to get himself right, he's going to come back looking good next year.
And he's going to be on a mission. I mean, probably the most important thing he's going to do is trying to recruit, you know, Tampa or whatever you want to call it. He's going to try to get guys to go to his team in some of that time. Three-time gold medal winner, 2008, 2012. Three-time medalist, two golds and a bronze in 2004 for LeBron there. The Nuggets are playing the Warriors tonight. The Warriors are 8.5-point favorite. Obviously, the number one seed is at stake for home court advantage. I don't think it even matters for the Warriors.
I wouldn't say it doesn't matter. I think that they would tell you it doesn't matter. I think that if you are that close to something and it's not going to take you out of your plan, like if you had a plan to get guys a certain amount of rest, I wouldn't alter that to necessarily chase the number one seed. But if this isn't taking you out of anything that you had planned to do, why not get the number one seed? You want that number one seed. They might tell you, yeah, we could beat Denver on like any surface in anyone's arena, and they're probably right. But if you can get the number one seed, it matters. That's a home game. Home games do matter at the end of the day. I think this is an important game for Denver.
Yeah, anytime you've got to go against the heavyweight mentally, because if they do have to face off him in the playoffs, they can at least go off this experience. Hey, we know we can beat him. I think the number says a lot about the game. I mean,
that's a huge number.
How significantly better the Warriors are. Are you still buying that Houston is the toughest out for the Golden State Warriors in the West?
Just because I've seen it, yep.
Yeah.
My OKC team that I thought could give them a run has been slumping. They've been playing bad basketball. You're not going to beat Golden State if you're not a hot team. And I think there's some matchup issues when they play Houston, and there's a proven track record for Houston against the Warriors. So I'm going to go with them.
Denver is a team that I think people are totally like, it's sort of, I kind of put them in that category. Like we were talking about Atlanta earlier. I think I don't know about the Suns, but because they've been so bad, but there's just a market that's just kind of gets slept on all the time. I played football there obviously and went to a bunch of Nuggets games when Carmelo was there, and it was fun, but they're just always kind of overlooked. But I don't think they're the second best team in the West.
Well, they don't have that star power. They are a really. Do you remember the? It's interesting because Paul Millsap was on that team too. It was the Atlanta Hawks. They were the number one seed in the East.
Yes, that was not. Yeah, yeah.
They had like four or five All Stars. It was crazy. Kyle Korver was an All Star. Millsap was. Everybody was an All Star. They weren't built for playoff success. I kind of feel this way about Denver, and I don't know that it's fair to Denver. Because Denver's proved me wrong every step of the way this year. I just feel like they don't have the dudes. They got a bunch of good players. Jokic is, it's fantastic. But I don't feel like they have the dudes that you need in the playoffs to have playoff success. They proved me wrong. That's all I can say about that.
All right. So we agree that the show sucked today.
Yeah. And prove me wrong. I just said it twice. I am just limping in right now.
We're limping in. We're going to end with a bang because we're going to make some people suffer here. The Nuggets are 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 games. They're 0-4 against the spread in their last 4 games, playing on 1 day rest.
The Nuggets are on 1 day rest?
Yep.
Are we in Oracle? Yep.
Yep. Yep. Are you taking the Warriors, laying 8.5?
Taking the Nuggets.
I'm taking the Warriors. I'm fading you on that one. Tomorrow, you know what we're going to do to infuse some life and energy into the show? We're going to do a sneaker showdown.
There we go.
You better bring your A game because I got a nice little collection built.
So we're only wearing the pair that are on our feet.
We're
bringing in a couple pairs.
No, one because we're on one pair.
Okay,
and it's bring your you better bring an ace because I'm bringing a good one, and then we'll kind of do it on a weekly thing.
Danny, you just bought a new pair of sneaks. I've been told. So you're setting me up. How long have you been waiting to do this?
I know. I've been waiting for a while. So that you have that to look forward tomorrow to. Don't forget to go to Canal and Bell. Send some shade at Raja.
Oh, sorry.